Okay, this is a Shir on Likutei Sichas, Chelek Chav Beis, Book 22, Sicha of Acharei, the second Sicha. In the end of the Sedra of Acharei Mois, or as we call it here, Acharei, so the Torah speaks about the portion, the Parshat Arayot, portion of forbidden unions. The Torah finishes off, these are the last words of the Parsha. Ushmartem et mishmarti, you shall keep, shall guard the things I told you to guard. Levilti asot mechilkot ha-toivot, not to do from the abominable practices. Velotitam v'goyim, etc. Velotitamu b'hem, and don't become impure through them. Ani Hashem elikeichem, I'm Hashem your God. Rashi, commenting on the words, velotitamu b'hem, ani Hashem elikeichem, you shall not become ritually defiled and impure by them, I am Hashem. He quotes that and then he explains as follows. Ha im titmu, but if you will make yourselves impure, eini elekeichem, I am not your God. Ba'atem nifsalim me'achrai, you are cut away from me. U'ma hana'ai yesh li b'chem, what kind of benefit do I have from you? What kind of enjoyment do I have from you? Ba'atem mitchayvim klaya, and you really all deserve to be cut off, to be finished off. L'kach ne'emar, finishes Rashi. That's why it says, Ani Hashem elekeichem, I am Hashem your God. The word I want to use is disrespectful, so I won't say it, but it starts with an R. And the second word is A. Then the next letter is N. Next letter is T, but I don't want to say it. The way it seems uncharacteristic, Rashi's almost, you see what Rashi's saying here? When you just look at the Rashi and you see it doesn't seem Rashi-like necessarily. What is he saying? If you become impure, I'm not your God. You get cut away from me. What enjoyment do I have from you anyway? And you just deserve to be wiped away. It's maybe it would fit for a fire and brimstone speech, maybe. But Rashi, so the Rebbe asked, we have to understand, Rashi doesn't just simply explain the words Ani Hashem Elokeichem, like explains in Parshas Vayera. I am Hashem, who's faithful to punish for those that don't listen to me. And I am Hashem, who's faithful to pay reward for those who do listen to me. Especially as earlier on in the second portion of Shemois and Vayera, he says, when it says Ani Hashem, that's the meaning in many places. Why does Hashem say I am Hashem after he gives an instruction to do this, an instruction not to do that? It's to say, I am Hashem to be counted on to punish if you don't listen and to reward if you do listen. So we brought this concept already. So we understand that this can't just be the meaning here. So that's why Rashi has to give a different interpretation. But it's difficult to understand why Rashi goes on this long-winded, so to speak, description of what happens if you don't listen to him. In more detail, we have to understand the following. From the words, you should not become Tamei, I am Hashem, we could seemingly only understand, because the inference, we have a klal from the yes, you infer the no. In other words, if it says, don't do this and you will not become impure, I am Hashem, your God. You understand? If you do become impure, I'm not your God. But how does Rashi get... So that detail is kind of implicit in the words. Don't become Tomei, don't become pure. I am Hashem, your God. Because if you do become impure, I'm not going to be your God. Okay, granted, that's in the words. But those other descriptions, you'll be cut off from me, and what benefit do I have from you anyway? And you deserve to be finished off.
It's a threat.
It's kind of a threat, but it doesn't. It's like Rashi's supposed to explain the meaning of the words. He's not supposed to go into a long speech and they're like, who are you anyway? Like, what? Who needs you anyway? Like, where do you see that in the words of Ani Hashem Lekechem? It's seemingly simple. Don't become impure. I'm Hashem. Hey, if you're going to be impure, I'm just not going to be Hashem. That part is inferable from the words. The other sounds, when you read it, it jumps out at you as being, whoa, okay. So, This pirush is brought in Teiras Kehanim. Rashi didn't innovate this drasha. It's in the Teiras Kehanim, which has the status of a Mishneic Medrash. But still, as spoken many times, Rashi's point is not to bring drashas. His point is Pshutishal Mikra, the simple reading of the pasuk. So we understand that obviously, if Rashi is quoting this three-staged, three-tiered kind of almost rebuke, so to speak, or warning, means that he understands this to be the Pshutishal Mikra, the simple reading of the pasuk. How do you see that in the simple reading of the pasuk? All these three details: you'll be cut away from me. What enjoyment do I have from you anyway? And you deserve to be finished off. So where does Rashi get these details in Pshut Eshel Mikra? That's what we have to figure out. Now, square brackets here. You can't answer that Rashi needs or at least wants to specify for the five-year-old, what does it mean, Eini Elei Kechem? So we said that in the simple reading of the Pasuk, don't become impure, I am Hashem your God, which we could infer very simply. If you become impure, I'm not your God. So possibly Rashi fleshes that out to explain to the five-year-old, what does it mean? Hashem says, I won't be your God. We can't say that that's why he fleshes it out here, because the concept of I'm not your God, we already find earlier in Rashi, which he says that Avram has been promised, I've given to you and your children after the land of Canaan, and I will be for them as a God. Rashi says, in Israel, he'll be like a God, but somebody who resides permanently outside Israel, it's as if he doesn't have a God. And Rashi doesn't there earlier on have to give any explanation to the five-year-old. What does it mean? It's very simple. If Hashem is saying, I'm not your God, that's pretty bad. You don't need to really give much explanation for that. Maybe a five-year-old could understand it even simply, more simply than a whatchamacallit. Imagine you have to tell a five-year-old, if you do this, I won't be your daddy. I mean, you don't have to explain anything more. That's enough of a. We know what that means. Also, not understandable the addition and the way Rashi finishes off. Rashi finishes off this whole three pronged. You know, who needs you? Like, what benefit do I have from you anyway? And then he says, "That's why it says I'm Hashem your God." How does that round up that those rebukes or warnings he was giving? It sounds, that's why it says Ani Hashem Akim. It sounds like that's a conclusion, or it's answering something, or it's, what's the connection? On the contrary, from the beginning of Rashi, where Rashi quotes the words, Belaititamu Bahem, they won't become impure, I am Hashem your God. Rashi quotes that whole sentence. It seems that Rashi is trying to address the difficulty in the pasuk, and also in the words, and you will not become impure with these violations. So if he's trying to explain those words as well, and he's explained those words, in the sum up of Rashi at the end, he should also say, that's what it says, I am Hashem your God, don't become impure. But he doesn't bring the words, don't become impure. He just says, that's what it means by saying, I'm Hashem your God. So obviously, in the end of Rashi, he says that somehow, what I've explained, I won't be your God, and what benefit do I have from you anyway? You'll be cut away from me, and you deserve to be finished off. Somehow that sums itself up by, that's why it says, I am Hashem your God. How so? Amen. Paragraph 2. So we'll understand this. My first understanding, looking into the Rashi at the very beginning of this parsha, of this chapter of Arayos, of Forbidden Unions. It's also a lengthy Rashi and a little bit more wordy than one would have expected. How does it go? The Pasuk says, Hashem spoke, speak to them, they saw, I'm Hashem your God. And then Rashi explains in the second part of that Rashi, Rabbi said, Galui v'yadu alafanav, it's revealed before Hashem, so finally not take barayot, in the end they will be attached to forbidden unions. They're going to be very eager to involve in these forbidden relationships. That's why, and he says in the days of Ezra, dot, dot, dot. That's why, that's why he comes with this decree, definitive statement, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem your God. De'u mi gozer aleichem, you should know who it is that's making the decree against You, Dayan lihipara v'ne'eman l'shalem sachar. He's a judge to mete out justice, to pay, to punish, and faithful to pay a reward. So here we have to understand these two things. Know who commands, decrees these decrees on you. And then the second part, he is a judge to punish you and is faithful to pay reward. It seemed to be two different interpretations in the same word, I am Hashem, your God. As we can prove, because in many places where Rashi explains, I am Hashem, he says, why does Hashem say, after telling you to do a mitzvah, I am Hashem? Because Hashem is validating or is stating his credentials. I am Hashem and I am to be relied upon. I'm faithful to pay up rewards. Or the reverse, I'm faithful to punish. And so on. There, in those places where he says, I can be relied on to reward or to punish, he doesn't first give the introduction, you should know who is decreeing upon you. Similarly, sometimes Rashi just talks about the fact that Hashem has decreed. It says, Ani Hashem, I have decreed upon you. You don't have the permission to absolve yourself. Or other language, and sometimes when it says, I am Hashem, you should know who has commanded on this, who has decreed on this, and don't let it be light in your eyes. And he doesn't add faithful to pay reward. So why, in other words, Rashi interchanges, whenever it says Ani Hashem, he'll either say he's faithful to reward and to punish, or he'll say, I am Hashem and I have the credibility to decree upon you. You have to don't minimize it, listen. But here Rashi brings both things. You should know who it is who's decreeing upon you. You got to fulfill it. And then he says, and also, Ani Hashem also tells you an additional thing. I'm Hashem who's reliable, will punish reliably and also reward reliably. Why, in this place, does Rashi learn both aspects? You should know who it is who is decreeing upon you, and you should know that I who's decreeing upon you is a reliable judge to punish and to reward. So here's the explanation. And this is at the heart of the matter. By the topic of aloyis, of forbidden unions, we find something unique. That before the Torah starts to explain and expound on the detailed prohibitions, there's a general introduction in which it says several items. The pasuk reads as following the introduction. Don't do like the deeds of Egypt. Don't do like the deeds of the land of Canaan. You shouldn't do. You should follow in my mishpatim, in my rational mitzvahs. You should keep my chukim. You should keep my super rational mitzvahs. And then he says, at the beginning, before he says, don't do like Egypt, don't do like Canaan, the actual more general introduction to this whole topic is, Hashem speaks to Moshe, speak to the Bnei Yisrael, I am Hashem, your God. Why does the Torah have to give this? I am Hashem, your God. Don't do like Canaan. Don't do like Egypt. Follow my commandments. Before he even gets to the nitty-gritty, what unions are forbidden, there's a whole heavy introduction with layered on thick the severity, the importance. Till he gets to the actual details, there's a lot of, warning. The reason for this is very simple. And that is, forbidden relationships are a thing that, to paraphrase the language of our sages, nafsho shel adam mitavelahem, a person is desirous of them, he wants them, they're enticing, their relationships that are exciting and perhaps enticing, to the extent that even after all the warnings, Rashi still brings that Hashem knew that in the end, in the time of Ezra, they will get connected, they will fall into the forbidden unions. And that's why they need to be encouraged and more and warned in a heavier way than Hashem warns about usual mitzvahs, to make sure that they are protected, that they know that they have to be very careful about not falling into this sinful behavior that they would have a tendency to want to fall into.
Shabbat shalom.
Here he's not talking about the Ani Hashem. He's saying that there's, before you even get to the details of the Arayot, you have a whole three lines almost of warning, of accentuating the importance of listening to Hashem. Obviously, this is something that a person may, because his heart will pull him towards it, and it, you know, relationships, the world knows about the enticing power of these kinds of relationships. So you need to really give a strong warning. So since the word Ani Hashem Elokeichem is written there in the opening and in the introduction to this whole topic of forbidden relationships, therefore it leads to say, it makes sense to say, that this is also a general general warning and a general zeros, a general, does he have a good word here? Zeros.
Exhortation.
Exhortation. And that's why the first Pirush of Rashi on the Ani Hashem Elokeichem introducing the whole topic of forbidden unions is Kibaltem Aleichem Malchusi, you have accepted upon yourself my sovereignty. Me'ata kiblu gzerotai, from now on you must also accept my instructions. If you accepted me as king, you have to accept my instructions. And that's a very, very general, definitive statement. You need to accept the yoke of the detailed instructions that I will give you. Because after all, you accepted upon me your sovereignty. That's like, you know, you can't wiggle out of that. Hashem said you have to listen because Hashem is your sovereign. And in order to explain that, also according to the second explanation, that when it says I am Hashem, it's not just a general exhortation and a general instruction about accepting all of the instructions of Hashem, the decrees of Hashem. But actually here, these words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, are actually more specifically oriented. They're talking about I am Hashem in regards to the prohibitions I gave you over the forbidden relationships I'm about to enunciate. Nonetheless, the I am Hashem, your God, is still a more general and central exhortation. That's why it's at the opening to the entire topic of forbidden relationships. So Rashi therefore says that the words Ani Hashem Elokeichem in this context are not just I'm faithful and I'm reliable to punish or to pay or to reward. Rashi says that this Ani Hashem Elokeichem is actually laden with meaning. It incorporates within it several details. Each of those words hint and allude to a different nuance and a different aspect of the exhortation, the warning that Hashem is giving. Ani, I am Hashem your God. Let's take each word separately. I, hey, you better know who's the one who's commanding you. Hashem says, I. Hashem is Yudke Vavke, which is beyond time, which means faithful to pay reward. Elokeichem is the language where Hashem expresses himself as severity, gvura, din, who can pay you, or who will punish you if you don't listen. So it's not just I am Hashem, you got to listen to what I say. It's fleshing out. It's such an important juncture here when he's introducing prohibitions on alayot, on forbidden relationships, that there's this Ani Hashem Elokeichem is, we flesh it out into three distinct aspects of Hashem's warning. I am Hashem. Listen to who's commanding this. And Hashem, Yudke Vavke, I'm omnipotent and able to pay you the reward. And I'm also, I wouldn't say tough, I'm also strict. And if you don't listen, I can punish you. So these three things really incorporate all the three ways you would want to impress and convince and motivate a person to rein in his natural impulses and desires, which is what the Torah is talking about here. The instruction here is that the Bnei Yisrael are being told that even their base desires and impulse for relationships with people that they may want to have a relationship with, Hashem says it's out of the bounds of proper holy relationships. Hashem comes down forcefully. And the way you would want to impress upon a person to stay away from that is with a three-pronged approach, which Rebbe will now explain. Eis Gimel, third paragraph. When a person, Hashem, when one would like to stop a Jew from indulging in a great indulgence, that's inappropriate. First of all, you have to say, hey, you should know that the prohibition, pay attention from whence comes the prohibition, from Hashem. Also has to remember that Hashem is the creator of the world, of course, who runs the world. That's point number one. And therefore, it's impossible that if Hashem is the creator and the originator and the director of the world and all its details, it's impossible that you should be able to do something in violation of Hashem's instruction, and it should be good. Just an impossibility. Anybody who thinks differently has got to get his head examined. Hashem's running everything, and he's in charge, and he tells you don't do it. How do you think that if you violate his word, it's going to be good? It's a form of idolatry. You think there's some other little guy you can appeal to up there in heaven who'll sneak out some good for you, even though Hashem doesn't want it. Hashem's in charge. So that's already the first thing. Tell him, you know who's instructing Hashem? He's in charge of everything. He's saying, don't do it. However, a person may think, you know what? I know it's in the end, it's not going to be good. Long term, it won't be good. But hey, in the meantime, let's indulge. At least let me have some temporary enjoyment from the indulgence. The second part of that, Hashem Elokeichem is Elokeichem. Hashem is also like a judge who will punish for violating the wish of Hashem. There is a punish, not just tam punish, not just regular punish, but in a way of pirida on. In other words, in a way that it's full reimbursement. Hashem is going to give a punishment that's like full reimbursement. In other words, any enjoyment that the person had from the sin is going to be fully returned to its source. There's not going to be anything left from that enjoyment. It's going to be he's going to be left just with a sin. It's going to be as if he never had any enjoyment, only aggravation. So don't think, okay, at least I'll have some enjoyment for a time and then I'll pay the price. No. That price is going to wipe out any kind of enjoyment you would have had. Not worth it. But then the question is, 1 second, why did Hashem do this? Theologically, now we have a problem. 1 second. I understand Hashem is giving me this instruction not to do the indulgence I would fall into, and he's in charge, this can't be good for me. And not just it can't be good for me long-term, even short-term. The punishment's going to come and going to wipe away any gain that could have been there. But 1 second, what's this for? It's not fair. Why does it make a person have such strong desires, and then he gives the instruction not to do it? They're like, Hashem is also faithful to pay the reward. The reason Hashem does it is in order to give the Jew the benefit of having to struggle and make an effort to keep Hashem's word and thus to get rewarded. You only get recompense, you only get reward according to the effort. And that's why there's the whole concept of a test, in order that the person not should fall into the trap. The person should overcome, should jump over the trap. It should be like a hurdle that makes him work harder, and then he gets ample reward. So basically, in those words, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, you have wrapped up the whole elevator pitch, if you wish, about staying away from arayot, staying away from many unions. I am Hashem. Hashem said it, can't be good. And he can punish, and he punishes. It's not even worth it. There's no value. There's no benefit or enjoyment left. Forget about it. Why do I have to go through this inner battle? Hashem is doing it to bring us reward. Paragraph 4. Now, when we come to the end of this sedra, when he's given us all the detailed instructions about the relationships that one is not allowed to have, then he sums it up with another generality. So he started with a generality, and now he wraps up after everything's said and done with all the details. He says, don't become impure with all these things. Keep my statutes. And then he says, and by the way, if you don't do it, because the earth will spew you out, the souls that engage in this forbidden illicit relationships will be cut off, God forbid. And then he comes to the grand finale. He says, keep my ordinances, keep my keep the things I told you to safeguard, not to do from the abominable practices, and don't become impure with them, I'm Hashem your God. Now, if those three last words wouldn't have been there in the parasha, we would have said that the fact that the Torah repeats these warnings and exhortations at the end in a general way, keep the things I've told you to keep, don't become impure, is just like Rashi explained earlier in various other places, for example, by the multiple times that it says don't eat creeping crawlies. Why does he have to tell us more than once? It's to make it, to layer more prohibitions on that same act. That if you eat that same bug, you have several prohibitions. You know, didn't just do one sin, there's several layers of sin. Because Hashem repeat himself a few times in the same topic. So why we would just think that the same thing happened here. Hashem saying the forbidden relationships, he warns about it, then he warns about it again. So if somebody does it, he has several layers of warning on it. However, in the end, the Torah finishes off, I am Hashem your God. Which here you can't say that Hashem is what? That Hashem has said, wanted to add multiple times, I am Hashem your God, to when you fulfill it. Like if he says don't do it a few times, we could say that if you do it, you violate every time he said don't do it. So instead of having just one violation, he said once don't do it, he said three times don't do it. If you violate it, you violated three things. It doesn't fit with I am Hashem your God. What that concept of many isn't there. So it forces us to say that this whole ending is not just to add layers of warning to make it more violations if you violate, but there must be here a wrap up similar to the beginning. Just as the beginning of this portion speaking about the Aroyes starts off with a general exhortation and warning, an introduction, I'm Hashem, don't do like what was done in Egypt, don't do, keep my mitzvahs, keep my statutes. Similarly, at the end, there's a similar, it's like two brackets. The end bracket has similar components to the beginning bracket. What is taka meant by the exhortation and the instruction at the end of the portion of Aroyas? What was added? So now Rashi says, I'm going to flesh it out for you. I'm going to explain that the beginning, Hashem says, in the positive, I am Hashem, your God. You should know I am Hashem. Recognize who gave you the instruction. I can pay you or I can punish you. Now Hashem is doing, and now Rashi is going to give us the reverse of that. What happens if you don't listen? And Rashi fleshes out the steps that would happen. He says, if you don't listen, I'm not your God. So the chidush, what's being brought to the table here at the end, in contrast to the beginning, in other words, the end summation, in contrast to the beginning introduction, and that's why it comes at the end, is that Ani Hashem Elokeichem, in the beginning of the topic of Arayot, is chiyuv. It's positive. It's what is Hashem. Hashem says, I am Hashem. In other words, I'm the one who's giving the decree. You have to listen. I can punish. I can reward. That's all positive. But what happens if there's somebody that all of those three strong statements that Hashem makes, I am Hashem, I'm the one giving the instruction, I can punish and I can reward, doesn't speak to him. It's not enough to shock him into staying away from the heart, the passion of the heart that's pulling him to this forbidden relationship. He's such a strong passion to him, it's not enough to keep him back. What do you do then? The Torah says at the end of the parasha, hey, you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell this guy the harsh reality. If you do become impure, Hashem says, I'm not your God. Now, he hears Hashem say, if you do this, I'm not your God. That touches him in the deepest place because it's touching the deepest relationship he has with Hashem. And as you see, literally, the Rebbe says, you see, that when a Jew hears such talk, I'm not your God, he becomes ufgerudet, he becomes outraged or totally shaken up. And he can't bear to be in that scenario. By the way, sometimes you see it with security of the shul. If somebody wants to come to the shul and say, you're not Jewish, you hear when it's dangerous for the security guard when a Jew becomes enraged because somebody told him he's not Jewish, you can't let him into shul. So Hashem saying, "Eini Elokeichem," that shakes him up in a very, very palpable way. So therefore, as the Bavus Tavar says, the Rebbe, we know what the Alter Rebbe said, Ayid, that a Jew doesn't want to and is not able to be torn away from godliness. So that's the first thing, is that this is the flip side of the Ani Hashem Elokeichem, the beginning of the Parsha. The Rebbe says, now we're wrapping up this topic of forbidden unions. And now Rashi is explaining how the summation is even more, what they say in Hebrew, dugri, even more direct and even more to the point. And that is that ani Hashem Elokeichem, if you don't listen, I won't be your God. Paragraph, hey, according to this, what we just explained, we'll also understand why Rashi, according to this, we'll understand why Rashi specifies and adds the three details. What does he say? I won't be your God. You'll be cut asunder from me. What kind of a enjoyment do I have from you? A benefit do I have from you? And you really deserve to be finished off. Since the teichen, since the content of the exhortation and encouragement of Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm Hashem your God, at the end of the Seder, as we said, is what? Is similar to the beginning, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm Hashem your God. At the beginning, what did we say it meant? We said it meant three prongs. I am Hashem, I'm the one giving the decree. Hashem, I can reward. And Elokeichem, I can also punish. Similarly here, when we're talking the flip side about the negative, what happens if you do become indulgent and become impure through this sin, we also understand that Ani Hashem Elokeichem is including three details. Each one becomes a separate rung in this process of being, God forbid, disconnected from Hashem. What details is it? So let's go through the Ani Hashem Elokeichem, the three tiers. Ani at the beginning of the Parsha meant, you should know, it's I. Who is the one decreeing on you? Which that tells us the way Hashem is dealing directly with the Jew as his people, and he gives them instructions. It's an incredible thing, if you think about it. Hashem is giving personal instructions to the people. That's a sign of closeness. The flip side of that is, if Hashem says, I won't be your God, is you'll be cut away from me. In other words, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Then it says, Ani, the second level in the introduction was Hashem. Hashem means Hashem is faithful to pay, reward. In the end of the parasha, when he's doing the flip side, he's saying, if you don't listen to me, why does Hashem give reward? Hashem gives reward because he has pleasure from what the Bnei Yisrael do when they listen to him. If you're not listening, so Hashem says, what kind of a benefit, what kind of an enjoyment do I have from what you're doing? You've taken away my enjoyment. You're not listening. So that's the exhortation against, right, indulgence in aroyas. You'll be taking away the Hashem. And Elokeichem, which means I am reliable to punish. So first of all, when Hashem punishes, here's a fascinating thing. Even while nobody enjoys punishment, but punishment is a sign that Hashem is relating and spending time, so to speak, with the person is punishing. It shows on a closeness and an endearment, especially from the context that the punishments of the Torah are not vindictive, they're not punitive, they're rehabilitative, they're therapeutic, they're meant to create a healing, they're meant to create a cleansing. So the fact that Hashem is punishing is actually a closeness. Here Hashem is saying, if you're gonna become impure, you know what's gonna happen? Atem mitchayvim klaya, you deserve to be wiped away. No connection with me whatsoever. Being punished, nobody wants to be punished, but at least there's a connection. So now we understand that I've explained it in the most beautiful way. Why Rashi finishes off, that's why it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Rashi is explaining that these three words become fleshed out in those details I just said, and he explains beautifully how aloyes, the prohibition against forbidden unions are so enticing that Hashem prepares for us a warning in the beginning, like a sandwich, a warning in the beginning, a warning in the end, very fleshed out warning, very detailed warning. Wants to make sure, no, don't make any mistake. First, I'll speak positive speech. So we should always start positive. So we start with positive reinforcement. Ani Hashem lekechem at the beginning of this parsha is, I am Hashem. Remember, it's me who's giving you the instruction. You can obviously, you don't think you can do something I don't want and it's going to work out. And remember, it's me and I punish. And if I punish, there's not even a temporary benefit for you. And guys, don't forget, I give reward as well. That's in the chiyuv, positive way. At the end, there's a further level of warning, which is even more severe. Because if you guys don't listen, if you become tamei, you become impure with these relationships, hey, I'm not your God. And more than that, there's the Ani Hashem lekechem. I won't even punish you. Even punishing you is a connection. You deserve to be finished off. I won't have any enjoyment from you. Not just I won't reward you, but that means to say I just don't have any enjoyment from you. You're losing your whole connection with me. So when a Jew hears that, he says, I'm not going to be your God. That kind of talk should really shock him into being able to get a handle, get a grip over his tendencies that he has to rein in.
The Torah also says in this scenario, right, that the punishment is laid out as well, that they'll be spit out of the land.
Yeah.
But
we're not going to go back to that. That's a physical punishment. Here,
that's collective. So we're talking about the acts of, like, I guess, individual people. But I guess there's a certain point where it tips over the scale, and God will say,
"Yes." So,
level that everyone's out of the land.
So, if you noticed in the introduction, there was the beginning where Hashem says, "I am Hashem," and then it. Before we got to the details, there was also, don't be like the land of Canaan. Don't act like the Egyptians. Don't act like the Canaanites. And then it got into the details. At the end also, it first goes into a general thing. It says, if you do, then what would happen to the Canaanites and Egyptians will happen to you. Just like the Canaanites, the Canaanim were spit out of the land. You'll also be spit out of the land. And then he goes to the next level of generality, which he had started with. I am Hashem, your God. And that's the way he finishes. And he wraps it up and he gives the whole general outlook, your relationship with God will be shattered and dissolved and lost. And for a Jew, that's worse than being kicked out of the land.
Rashi's
bringing that part down. Yes.
It's applicable to all of us today.
Now, we paragraph six, the Rebbe brings this into the language of deeper language in the inner track of Torah, the language of Chassidus. We can explain the connection of these three details to the three expressions, I am Hashem, your God, in a bit of a different tone. First of all, let's look at the word I. I, when Hashem says I, it's Atzmusay or Mehusay Yisbarach, his essence. Because there's Hashem, that's already a name, Yudke Vavke. Ani is I, higher than name. It's his essence. When Hashem says I about himself, he's referring to his essence. Higher than the creation of the worlds. Like we know, there's a famous saying, it's God's main achievement is not about creating worlds. That's not the big news about Hashem. For us, we say, oh, Hashem's so great, he created heavens and earth. That's not the main agenda. That's not the main bigness of Hashem, so to speak. He's much higher than that. Nonetheless, when he says, Ani, I, he's saying that at the moment of, he's saying that to someone. In other words, through Torah and mitzvahs, this I, this essence of Hashem gets drawn down into the world. As we know, we have the saying in the Medrash, it becomes the cornerstone of Chassidus, Hashem desired to have a dira betachterim, to have a dwelling place in the lower worlds. Because through Torah and mitzvahs, through doing Torah and mitzvahs, the Bnei Yisrael make the world into a dwelling place for Hashem's essence. And just like when somebody goes into his own dwelling, the distinction between being a guest by somebody or being in a public space and being in your own space is you're in your own space. That's where you can truly reveal yourself physically. You don't have to be clothed in a way that you need to be presentable to others. And also conceptually, you can spread yourself out in your own house, you know, express yourself the way you want. That's what happens. We bring Hashem down that he can be comfortable here, not projecting, but the way he is, so to speak. And then we have, that's the Ani, I. Then we have Havaya, Yutke Vavke. Havaya is from the expression of continually creating. And then we have Elokeichem, which is your, Hashem says, I am Hashem, your God. Elokeichem means your power, your vitality. To the extent we have the Hashem, the way he is enlivening, the way he's creating the created being. That's the level of godliness that encloses itself into the created being. And that's what Rashi says, but if you become impure, I'm not going to be your God. And this expresses itself in all three aspects that we just mentioned. The first thing is, I'm not going to be your God means you will be cut off from after me, from behind me. Literally, the word achare means behind. The lower level, the level that is, so to speak, not the face of Hashem that can't be seen, but the back of Hashem. In other words, the way Hashem is in a less openly revealed state, that's the name of Elohim. Elohim has the numerical value of Hateva, nature. That's where Hashem is more hidden. But you'll even be cut off from that level, from the level of feeling the power of the Creator in the created being. If you become impure, you'll be cut off from that level. And then even more than that, usually when a Jew does a mitzvah, he creates benefit and enjoyment because he's fulfilling Hashem's desire. Hashem wanted to be down here below. But we're saying, if you become impure, what kind of enjoyment do I have? From Torah mitzvahs, I have enjoyment. My desire is fulfilled. But if you don't, if you become impure and don't do the mitzvahs, what enjoyment do I have? And then he says, and not just that, you really deserve to be wiped out. Not just if you don't listen to me, you become impure. Not just will you not feel the power of the Creator in the created being from the name of Elohim. Also, you'll be cut off from the whole concept of creation. That's why it says Rashi, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, the intention, the plan of these warnings is not that they, God forbid, should ever come to pass such a situation where somebody's cut off from God. The whole purpose is, therefore, I'm telling you all this so that I shall be Hashem your God. So that even though at the end of the portion of Aroyas, really we're trying to give the flip side, what will happen if you do become impure? But then he ends off, the way that I was learning now, I am Hashem your God, which means that the whole point is not to get disconnected. The whole point is I, the essence of Hashem, should be the creative power that then becomes your created, your feeling of the Creator in the created being. I should have enjoyment from you. And therefore Hashem will truly be drawn down into the Jew in an internal way. To the extent that the Ani, the eye of Hashem, becomes Elokeichem, becomes the vitality and the energy of the Jew. So that's a positive spin. That's the last words, the Kach Ne'emar, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's why it says, I'm Hashem your God, because I want to have a relationship with you. And if you become impure on all levels of Atmos and Havaya and Elokim, the relationship is going to go awry. So therefore, please, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. It's all about Hashem's essence being connected with every Jew, because by doing mitzvahs, Hashem has enjoyment, and then the Jew feels Hashem pulsating in him. That's what Hashem says. That's why I'm giving all these warnings. Not that I anticipate you're going to fall into it. I want to make sure you don't fall into the mud. Yeah. That is the Sicha in its, at least the simple way I was able to understand it.
People still dead and dead.